ॐ ध्यायामो धवलावकुण्डनवतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्ठिकीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीमधुसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरीम्। Yeah, Shankara quoted from the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad as well as other Upanishads. So finally, he enters into the main topic which he was trying to enter into with the Shruti quotations, that is Jagan Mithyatvam, or proving that the world is an illusion. The Jagat Mithya, Jagat is Mithya. Mithya is that which is neither real nor unreal. We cannot term it as real or unreal. Again, just to brief, real and unreal, the definition of real or sat and asat, unreal, is given by Krishna in Gita. In the second chapter, Krishna says, na asato vidyate bhavo, na bhavo vidyate satah, na asatah vidyate bhavah. There is no existence or bhavam for asat, for an entity which is unreal. And similarly, na abhavo vidyate satah, for sat, there is no abhavam, there is no non-existence. That means that which always exists is called sat, and that which never exists is called asat. So the world, we cannot say that the world is real, is sat, because before creation the world was not there, and after realization also the world will not be there. Therefore the world is not eternal, hence we cannot say that the world is sat or real. The world also cannot be unreal, because unreal is that which has no existence at all, like the horns of a hare. Or another similar example that Shastra gives is the son of a barren woman, a woman who cannot give birth to a child. The son of such a woman is unreal. Gandharva Nagaram, a palace seen in sky, in space. It is Gandharva Nagaram, that is also unreal, because it never exists at all, can never exist. But the world, we see the world now, so the world is currently present or perceived in the present. Therefore, Vartamanam, in Vartamanam we perceive the world, there is perception of the world. Therefore, we cannot say that the world is unreal as well. Therefore, Shastra says that Jagat is Mithya. Mithya is that which is neither real nor unreal. It is not real because it is not eternal. It is not unreal because it is perceived now. And examples of Mithya, examples of illusions, are the dream world, ropes, the snake seen in rope, water in desert, all those, in all those, let's take the example of water seen in desert. There is no water. The water seen in desert is not real because there is no water. It will vanish after a person knows that there is no water. And it is not unreal as well. Why? Because we see it. If we don't see water in desert, then there will be no discussion about water in desert. So that means for an Ajnani, he sees water in desert, and once he realizes, water vanishes. Therefore, water is neither real nor unreal. Similar, all illusions are therefore termed as mithya, neither real nor unreal. So at the empirical level they are neither real nor unreal. At the ultimate level there is only Brahman. Tasmad etani brahmaiva. So thereby everything is Brahman alone. That is what Shankara said, etani brahmaiva bhavanti ityavadharayet. So therefore everything is Brahman, therefore ultimately There is no mithya, there is no jagat at all. But empirically we have to accept because we perceive it. But once we know that the world is an illusion, world is mithya, then we'll not be affected by it. So a person who sees Dvaitam, who considers the world as real, will be seeing Dvaitam. He'll be considering Dvaitam as real, therefore he will have itaraha tatra pashyati. He will see duality, thereby dvitiya dvai bhayam bhavati. There will be bhayam. Out of this bhayam, there will be moham, shokam, dukkam, everything. But when a person knows that the world is mithya, he knows the world to be mithya, then though he may see the world, yet he'll be unaffected by it. He will know that everything is Brahman alone. The duality that is seen is also the non-dual reality of Brahman. The difference is only with respect to Namarupam. Thereby there will be no shokam, there will be no moham. How is it that once a person knows the world to be an illusion, yet he perceives it? We see rope, we see snake in the rope. A person sees snake in the rope. But once he realizes that there is no snake in the rope, then he doesn't see snake in the rope again. But you say that a person after realizing also might see the world. How is that possible? This is explained with respect to the illusion of water seen in desert. I see water in desert, I go near that place, I don't see water. Thereby I realize that there is no water. Even after knowing that there is no water, yet I see it. Everybody sees it. That is what is called an illusion. So illusion might occur or happen again. So it is not the world or perception of the world that is the problem. But the problem is considering the world which is perceived to be real. So a jnani, once he realizes that jagat is mithya, he'll be unaffected by the world because he knows that the world is not real. So things which are not real, even though we may see, will not be affected by it. I go to sleep and I see a dream that I lose all of my money, I lose my people and I become a beggar. But yet I am unaffected by it. Why? Because I know that it is only a dream. Similarly, a person who knows that the world is only an illusion will be unaffected by it. And since he is unaffected by it, therefore he will know that everything is Brahman alone. Therefore there will be no moham, there will be no shokam, therefore there will be anandam alone. That is the purpose of establishing jagan mithyatvam. So Shankara here enters into proving jagan mithyatvam, or that the world is an illusion, through various logic.
Anubhutopyayam loko vyavaharakshamopi san asadrupo yata swapna uttarakshana bhadatah.
So this world is different from other illusions. This world, the illusion of world, is different from water seen in desert, because water seen in desert has no purpose. The water, what we see in desert, we cannot quench our thirst with the water seen in desert. But the world that we are in, though it is an illusion, yet we have purpose in it. That is what is called vyavahara kshamam. Vyavahara kshamaha. Vyavahara kshamaha means it serves a purpose. The world that we live in, the life that we live, serves some or the other purpose empirically. Though if we really analyze what purpose is, I get up in the morning, I go to office, I come back, I talk to my parents, I talk to my husband, I talk to my children. What purpose do I gain by living like this for many, many jenmas? There is no purpose. But empirically, unlike water seen in desert, the experiences in the world serve purpose in the world. Whereas water seen in desert doesn't serve any purpose inside itself as well. So vyavahara kshamam, this world serves a purpose. So water seen in desert is different from the world because the world serves a purpose, that but water seen in desert doesn't serve a purpose. Therefore you cannot compare water seen in desert as well as the world and say that both are illusions. Water seen in desert would be an illusion because it doesn't serve any purpose. The world is not an illusion because it serves purpose. If somebody says that, then Shruti gives the example of Swapnam. Swapnam is an illusion like water seen in desert, but unlike water seen in desert, Swapnam serves a purpose. Whatever we see in Swapnam, the water I see in Swapnam, the food that I eat in Swapnam, the car that I drive in Swapnam, the work that I do in Swapnam, the sleep that I enjoy in Swapnam, all those serve a purpose in Swapnam. So Swapnam also has Vyavaharam, has purpose. Therefore, we cannot say just by something, just because the world that we are in serves a purpose, therefore it is not an illusion, because in such a case Swapnam also will become not an illusion, but we know that Swapnam is an illusion. So this analogy of Swapnam or the example of Swapnam is taken to show that this world serves a purpose even as Swapna serves a purpose, yet Swapnam is an illusion even as the world that we are in, Jagrat, is also an illusion. So Anubhuto Api Ayam Lokaha. Ayam Lokaha, this Lokam, Anubhuto Api, though it is Anubhavam, it is a matter of experience. We experience the world. Anubhuti, we experience the world, we perceive the world, and Vyavahara Kshamaha Api San, though it also has Vyavahara Kshamam, it also serves a purpose in the world, yet that doesn't mean that it is real. It is Asad Rupam, it is unreal. Why is it unreal? Yata Swapnaha, even as Swapna. Swapna is also Anubhavam. We experience things in Swapna. Our experience in Swapna or Swapna Lokam also has a Vyavaharam. It serves some purpose, yet it is an illusion. Similarly, the Jagrat Lokam is also an illusion. And why do we say Swapnam is an illusion? Uttarakshana Badataha, because it vanishes the next moment. Uttarakshanam, the next moment. Badataha, Badataha means sublation, vanishing. So Bhadam is not negation as such. Negation means destroying something, but Bhadam means sublation, vanishing through knowledge. That which never existed, when that vanishes, we call it Bhadam. So Uttarakshana Bhadataha, since Swapnam, 1 second Swapnam is there, the next second we wake up and say there is no Swapna. That means 1 second it is there, it is temporary. That is what Krishna says in Gita, that Anityam Asukam Lokam. The Lokam is Asukam, sorrowful. Why? Because it is Anityam, constantly changing. So Uttarakshana Bhadataha, because the next moment it vanishes, it negates, it is destroyed, it also contradicts itself. That is a translation that is given in the site. So that's also a valid thing to say, that 1 second we see something, the next second we see something else. But Bhadataha means it vanishes or negates itself the next moment. So one moment we see Swapnam, the next moment we get up. Similar is the case with Jagrat Lokam as well. One moment we see the Jagrat Lokam, we see things, the next moment things change. That's why we say, oh, yesterday I saw that person, he talked to me very well, but today when I tried to speak to him, he was very angry. Such a nice person he was to me yesterday, within a day he has changed. See how the world changes. This is what we commonly use. This is a terminology. These are words that we use at least once a week. Yet we don't understand the essence of that statement. That statement, Ishvara, by giving us those statements, is wanting to tell us that everything is constantly changing. That means, even as dream world, Everything is constantly changing. That which is constantly changing is not real. That is unreal. Such an unreal entity will only give us sorrow. It will cannot give us anything else. So, Swapnam. Yoga Vasishtam explains beautifully in many ways about Swapnam and the Jagrat Lokam. Swapnam is a means. There is no real purpose for Swapnam. Though Shankara says that Jagrata Samskarajaha Swapnaha. Swapnam is that state where our samskaras that we create, that we generate in the Jagrat Avastha, in the waking state, we continue it. So we don't like a person who watches Rajinikanth's movie, he doesn't sleep and watch Amitabh Bachchan's movie in dream. He will only watch Rajinikanth's movie in dream as well. So it is the samskaram that we have in Jagrat, in waking state, that is continued in dream state. But dream doesn't serve any purpose. We know that it is an illusion. It doesn't serve any purpose at all. Just because we see Rajinikanth's movie in dream, that doesn't mean that our thirst, our desire for seeing Rajinikanth's movie in waking state vanishes. Just because we are unable to do it in waking state, we continue it in dream state. But that doesn't remove it. So, Swapnam doesn't serve any purpose at all. We can say deep sleep, the state of Sushupti, serves a purpose because that is the time when everything rests. Our antakaranam, our bahikaranam, our body, everything rests. Prana, everything rests at that time. So that serves a purpose, we can say, if for an argument. But Swapnam doesn't serve any purpose at all. Yet that it happens always. So that is Ishvara's way of telling that, oh Mudatma, oh ignorant person, try to find out and try to analyze your experiences. If you analyze your experiences, then you will come to know that Swapnam is an illusion. And when you come to know that Swapnam is an illusion which serves no purpose, then you'll be able to equate Swapnam with Jagrat, thereby crossing over the ocean of samsara and rejoicing in Ananda. So that is the purpose of Swapnam. Swapnam has been given to us only for realizing that the world or Jagrat Lokam is an illusion, is Mithya, thereby realizing our Swarupam, our real nature of Brahman, which is only present here. So we can say that, how do you say Uttarakshana Bhadataha? I know next moment it changes, but that doesn't, changing can mean unreal, but change, what is the real necessity of saying that it changes? We can say that, okay, what changes is unreal ultimately, but that doesn't in a way prove that it is an illusion. Ultimately, through logic, we will have to prove it. We will have to come to the conclusion that whatever changes is an illusion. But why do you say that it is contradicted or it negates itself in the next moment? What do you really mean by that? And what do you want to prove by that? So, Shankara replies this in the next shloka, 57th shloka. The main purpose of that is to prove that whatever is constantly changing, not only changing, but whatever contradicts itself, whatever is present and is not present, is right and is wrong, that thing we'll have to negate, we'll have to ignore it. A person who doesn't ignore such a thing, he will end up in sorrow. So let's say we have a friend who all constantly lies. He says something today, he says something tomorrow. So it seems as if he tells the truth today, but tomorrow we know that it is a lie. So he seems to be right, yet he is wrong. So a person who is constantly changing, constantly lying, we all know that nobody in the world likes liars. Though we can find in romantic movies that in romance where there is love, a person would love a liar as well. But that's not the case. There is always a limit. So as the statement goes that as the famous proverb says, that sky is the limit. There is always a limit. We cannot say a person will love a liar always. There will be a time when that limit, the liar will cross the limit. But even as we don't like liars because they are constantly changing, similarly, we should, if we understand, if we apprehend the changing nature of the world, contradicting nature of the world, then we will not be affected by it. We will get away from it. We will overcome it by realizing the underlying reality, knowing it to be unreal. Even as we ignore a liar, we try to be as far away from a liar as possible. We don't dislike him, we don't hate him, but we don't like him as well. We are unaffected by him. We don't want to get affected by him, therefore we stay away. Similarly, a person who knows the world to be contradicting, the Jagrat Loka to be contradicting, constantly changing, constantly negating itself, such a person will not be affected by the world. He will get away from the world by realizing that reality, that Advitiya reality, which is the substratum of the world. So in the 57th shloka, next shloka, Shankara speaks about how Swapna contradicts or negates itself the next moment, even like Jagrat. Swapno jagarane likah swapne pi jagaro nahi doyameva laye nasti layo pi hubayor nacha. So swapnam, so here Shankara is entering into the avastha traya analysis, the analysis of the three avasthas. Three avasthas. The Yoga system uses this analysis, this type of argument to prove that the Jagrat Lokam and the Swapna Lokam both are illusion. We can say that Swapnam is momentary, whereas Jagrat is not momentary. It stays for a period of time. But Gaudapada beautifully gives in Mandukya Karika, he says that if we say that Swapnam is temporary, whereas Jagrat has a longer duration, because Jagrat consists of many Swapnam, then we can also have a Swapnam, Swapna 1, the main Swapna, we can term it Swapna 1. In that Swapna 1, we can have another Swapna, Swapna 2, Swapna 3, Swapna 4, etc. So that Swapna 1 can have another Swapnam, so a set of Swapnas in it. So just because something is momentary, something is temporary, that doesn't mean it is different from the Jagrat Loka. So Jagrat Loka is the same as Swapna Loka, just that it seems to be present for a longer period of time, whereas the Swapnam doesn't stay for a longer period of time. Just because we see water in desert for a longer period of time, one person sees it for a longer period of time, another person sees it for a very less period of time, that doesn't mean it is real for one person and unreal for another person. It is always unreal. It doesn't matter whether it is present for 10 minutes or it is present for 1 hour. Similarly, though the duration of Jagrat seems to be longer than Swapna, yet both are illusions. Why? How do you say that Uttarakshana Bhadataha, one negates the other and both are illusion? Because Swapnaha Jagarane Alikaha. Swapna is not present in Jagarane. While a person is awake, Swapna is not there. That means the Swapna Lokam is unreal. Swapna Lokam is absent. Swapna Lokam is non-existent while we are in the waking state. While we are awake, there is no Swapnam. Similarly, Swapne api jagaro nahi. Swapne api. Similarly, in Swapna, while we are dreaming, jagaraha nahi. Jagaraha or Jagrat Avastha, Jagrat world is surely not there. That means, when we are awake, Swapnam is not there. When we are dreaming, Jagrat is not there. So this means that in the Swapna is negated in Jagrat and Jagrat is negated in Swapna. That's why it is said that Uttarakshana Bhadataha. when we are in Jagrat, Swapna is negated. So Jagrat negates Swapna and Swapna negates Jagrat. And we experience both these avastas in a day. From Jagrat we go into Swapna and then again we come back to Jagrat. In Jagrat, Swapna is negated. In Swapna, Jagrat is negated. So Jagrat negates Swapna, Swapna negates Jagrat. Therefore, both are illusion. Both mutually contradict each other. Such mutually contradicting entities can never be real, because anything that is real should always be present. Wherever there is contradiction, that even in science we say that, okay, if something contradicts our theory, if something contradicts our theory, then we have to remove that part. Whatever, let's say I have found out a way to solve an equation, but this my solution is contradicted by another assumption or another fact, then my solution is to be negated. Similarly, since Jagrat negates Swapna and Swapna negates Jagrat, both are mutually contradicting, therefore both have to be negated. Oh, how do you say that both have to be negated, both are unreal? Because it can be that just both are both mutually contradict each other. That means both are mutual. We can't say that both mutually refute each other. We can't say both are unreal. It's just that, like, it's like telling that I have front and back. When I see the front, I don't see the back. When I see the back, I don't see the front. So when I turn around to see my back, I don't see the back which was my front. So my front and back contradicts. Even as two sides of a coin, the head and the tail both mutually contradict each other, that doesn't mean both are unreal. Both are real. So what you have said, that in Jagrat Swapna is not there, in Swapna Jagrat is not there, can just mean that they are mutually absent. When one is present, the other is absent. So it would be mutual, that's it. We can't say that both are unreal. So for that, anticipating such an argument, Shankara says, Dvayameva Laye Nasti Laye. Laye means in the state of Sushupti, in a state where we are complete, totally merged into Brahman, merged into the Atman. At that state, Dvayameva Nasti. Both are not there. So how, like, we can say that they are not like two sides of a coin. Why? Because two, like, when one side of the coin is there, the other side is not there. When we are in the other side, this side is not there. But there is no time when either of the sides of the coin are not there. Both are not there. Such a situation is not there. But with respect to Jagrat and Swapna, we have the Sushupti Avastha where both Swapna and Jagrat are not there. Therefore, we say that it is an illusion. Oh, it is right that in Sushupti Avastha, both Swapna and Jagrat is not there. But then can't we say that Sushupti is a state of realization? Sushupti is Moksha. Therefore, we have to always be into Sushupti. Scriptures also say that Sushupti is similar to Moksha Avastha, because in that state we have Anandam. So doesn't that mean that Sushupti is real? Brahman is not real. The state of Sushupti, the state where we merge and everything vanishes, that is the state of Moksha. Can't we say that? No. Why? Layaha api hi ubayor nacha cha and layo api. Laya also, Sushupti also, he surely ubayor na is not present in the other two states. So layam or Sushupti, in Sushupti avastha both the other Swapna and Jagrat are not there, but Sushupti is not there in Swapna and Jagrat. In the states of Swapna and Jagrat, Sushupti is not there. In that case, my argument, earlier argument, that Swapna and Jagrat are mutually contradicting, mutually related. We can say that Swapna, Jagrat, Sushupti, all three are mutually related. Why can't we say it that way? Because in Swapna, Jagrat and Sushupti is not there. In Jagrat, Swapna and Sushupti is not there. Jagrat and Swapna is not there. So why can't we say that all these three are like two sides of a coin? Why can't we say it that way? We can't say it that way because all these three are constantly changing. And there is an Atma. There is a Sakshi for all these three. He is called Avastatraya Sakshi. And okay, Avastatraya Sakshi is fine, yet we don't need to accept them, these three states, to be unreal. Why do you say they are unreal? Because it is a matter of experience for jnanis. It's a matter of experience for Jivan Muktas that there is a fourth avastha which is called Turiya Avastha. Manduk Upanishad calls it Turiya Avastha, that state which is beyond these three states. That state which is always there. That state which is always there. That state which is beyond Jagrat, Swapna and Sushupti, and that which is real. So anything changing should have a changeless substratum. That Turiya Avastha is the Moksha Avastha. Since that Turiya Avastha is there, which is distinct from Swapna, Jagrat and Sushupti, therefore the changing and mutually contradicting Swapna, Jagrat and Sushupti have to be unreal, because there is another avastha which is beyond all these three and which is always present. Therefore the argument that these three mutually contradicting things can be there is not right. So both sides of a coin are always there. One, either side of the coin is always there. But if we had another state wherein which pervades these two sides of the coin and which is beyond these two states and which is steady, which is constant, which is real, which is changeless, in which these two sides of the coin are there, then we will have to accept the coin, the two sides of the coin, as unreal. Empirically, we don't have such a state of the coin where both the sides of the coin are not there, and that state where both the coins are pervaded and in which both the sides are seen. Such a state is not there, therefore in empirically we cannot compare it. But with respect to the avastha trayam, there is a sakshi. That sakshi is in the state of Turiya, in the avastha of Turiya, the chaturtha avastha, the fourth state which is beyond these three yet always present. When we hear Turiya avastha, we might think that, oh, it is an avastha which is beyond all these three. That means it is an avastha like these three avasthas. It is a state like Jagrat or Swapna, but it is not a state at all. Just because we have to explain it with respect to the three avasthas, therefore it is claimed as the, or it is termed as the fourth avastha. There is no avastha called Turiya avastha. It is mentioned as the chaturtha avastha with respect to the three avasthas. It is that which is constant. It is the avastha of the sakshi. That sakshi who is always present. That sakshi who is the witness of Swapna, Jagrat and Sushupti. That sakshi who sees Jagrat while Swapna also perceiving the absence of Swapna and Sushupti, similar with the other states as well. And that state of Sakshi, that is the real state. That state of Sakshi is called Turiya. Though it is called Turiya Avastha, it is that state which is always there. Though we are all by nature, or in essence we are Brahman, we are the Sakshi who is alone present here, yet we fail to apprehend the Sakshi. So the Sakshi or Turiya is always there, yet we don't perceive it. Even as desert is always there in water, though we don't perceive it while perceiving the illusion. So as long as we consider the three worlds, the three avastas, the three states as real, we will not be able to apprehend the substratum of the illusion of these three states, which is the Turiya avastha. Even as a person who is perceiving water in desert will not be able to apprehend the substratum of desert. So through this analysis, through this logic, these three avastas are mutually contradicting. Therefore, all three of them are illusion in the Turiya avastha, in the Sakshi. Therefore, this also proves that Jagrat is an illusion like Swapna and Sushupti. Shankara concludes this, whatever we discussed now, that the three avastas are mithya. He says that in the next shloka. So thereby kind of ending the avastha traya analysis. It is just three shlokas that Shankara speaks about the avastha traya. But if we are able to understand this, This is the Avastatraya analysis is the essence of the shortest Upanishad, shortest of all Upanishads, which is the Mandukya Upanishad. It consists of just 12 shlokas, yet Gaudapada has written a Karika consisting of 4 chapters, and Shankara Bhagavadpada has written a commentary on it. There are sub-commentaries to it. So Mandukya Karika speaks about Ajatiwadam, that is the ultimate truth. So there is nothing apart from the Avastatrayam analysis. But we have, if we learn these 3 shlokas properly, if we by heart these 3 shlokas and understand the logic put in these 3 shlokas, then there needs nothing else to be known, because with that everything would be known.
Trayamevam bhaven mithya gunatraya vinirmitam asye drashta gunatito nityo hyekaschidatmakah.
So Shankara says, Trayam evam bhavet mithya. Trayam, all these 3 are bhavet, are surely mithya. All these 3 are illusory. All these 3 are empirically illusory, ultimately real. Mithya means empirically it is neither real nor unreal, ultimately it is unreal. So all these 3 are illusions. Because gunatriya vinirmitam, because it consists of the 3 gunas. It is caused by the various gunas. So sushupti is the avastha where we are in a state of, we can say, you'll have to analyze it. Sushupti, we can say it is a state which encompasses tamas as well as sattva. There is tamas because it is sluggishness, slumber and all those things. Ignorance is there, therefore it is a state of tamas, inactivity. Yet there is sattva as well in it because there is anandam in that avastha. Whereas in the swapna and jagrat we have majority of rajas. Rajas as well as tamas, because out of ignorance we do actions. So these 3 avastas are based on gunas. They are gunatraya vinirmitam, created by gunas. A person who is without gunas, he will neither sleep nor do actions nor merge into sattva. A person who is realized, he is guna atitan. He is beyond the gunas, beyond the 3 gunas. So sattva is that state wherein a person is at the intellectual level, he has jnanam. So he has jnanam, he speaks about things. He is more at the intellectual level. Even that is, though he gains more happiness, because the more and more you move from the external gross world into the self, into the Atman, you'll get more and more bliss. So intellect is that which is closest to the Atman. Therefore, if a person is at the intellectual level, jnanam, he has shanti, he has jnanam, he speaks about knowledge, he propounds knowledge, propounds the scriptures, he analyzes, he does intellectual analysis, any shastra, it doesn't need to be Vedanta, but any science, such a person is in sattva. But that is also not real, because it is also objective and it is based on the intellect, illusory intellect. And in the rajas avastha there is more physical action. Activity is the part of rajas, either mental activity or physical activity, more physical activity. And tamas is that state where we are into inactive, in a state of inactivity. It's not inactivity. Sattvam and tamas might seem a little bit similar because both have inactivity. Activity is rajas. But in sattvam, inactivity ends in intellectual contemplation, in focus, whereas in tamas inactivity leads to slumber, inactivity leads to sluggishness, inactivity leads to sleep, whereas in sattva inactivity leads to more focus on certain things. So as I said, all these 3 avastas are based on guna. If we don't have any guna, a person who is beyond gunas, he'll not be affected by any of these avastas. These avastas will go on, yet he'll be ever blissful. But a person, an ajnani, who sees these avastas as real, considers them as real, then it is caused out of guna, and therefore he is affected by them. That's the reason why when we experience these avasthas, when a person says, I experience all these, he is affected by it. But a jnani will never say he experiences it. He'll say, illusions go on, I see only Brahman in there. I am always the sakshi, the illusions are also Brahman alone. In such a state, there is no three avasthas. Though the avasthas might be there, yet they are not avasthas. They are only nama rupam in Brahman. So they are only Brahman. They are tasmadetani brahmeva bhavanti tyavadhare. But avadharanam, the conviction that they are Brahman alone. So these three avasthas are mithya because they are caused out of guna. Anything that is caused out of the three gunas denote a state of tension, a state of change. It is not a natural state. That the natural state is that state which is devoid of any tension. It is like the pendulum which stays at the normal position. There is no tension at all. But when you move it to one side, tension starts. And that tension is the cause of sorrow. When we are natural, when guna is there, then we are active at one or the other level. We are doing something or the other. We are not natural. We are not stable. We are not consistent. We are not changeless. Therefore, that state where we have gunam, we have the gunam, there will be, since it is not different from natural, therefore we will want to go to natural, we will seek and we will have dukkam. But asye drashta, the seer, the witness, the sakshi of these three avasthas, which are caused out of gunam, is guna atitaha, he is beyond the guna. Why is he beyond the guna? Because he is the witness of the creation of three gunas. We discussed about cause effect in detail in the last few days. The effect is only a manifestation of the cause. So effect is not different from the cause. So the effect of world, which is created from the cause of guna, the three gunas, is the three gunas only, the gunatrayam alone. That means the world is gunatrayam. So the sakshi of gunatrayam has to be different from gunas. Even as when I say that I saw a car going, I cannot say I see a car going unless I am not going, I am not moving. To perceive the movement of a car, I need to be stable. Similarly, any sakshi, any witness cannot be part of the activity. He cannot have the quality of the activity he witnesses. So this sakshi of the avastha trayam, this sakshi perceives gunatrayam. He sees the three gunas. Therefore, he has to be different from the gunas. If he also has guna, sattva guna also, let's say he has sattva guna. If he has sattva guna, then he cannot witness guna because he himself is part of it. It's like telling that I am acting in a movie, yet I am witnessing the movie. I cannot witness the movie because I am in the movie. So a person who witnesses, the sakshi who witnesses the gunatrayam, the world created out of gunatrayam, he has to be guna atita. Since he is guna atitam, therefore he is natural. Since he is natural, therefore he is eternal, he is nitya. And he, surely he is ekaha, he is one alone. Though what he perceives are many, the perception is many, the avasthas are many, yet the sakshi is one alone. And he is chidatmaka, he is of the nature of consciousness because he is a witness. A witness has to illumine. A person who illumines should be conscious in nature. Therefore, he is consciousness in nature. And how do we know that he is ekam? He also can be many. Why can't he be many? He can't be many because the same person who witnesses the Jagrat Avastha witnesses Swapna as well. That's why after waking up we say that I who am awake now, I dreamt. The dreamer, the person who dreamt, was different from the person who is awake now, because the I is the ego, which is the person who is the subject in the dream and the subject in waking state, both are completely different. The jiva is different. But when we say that I dreamt yesterday, that there we unknowingly tilt towards the Atman, that I take toward the Atman, that I is more pointing towards Atman than the Jiva. It is unknowingly we use that. That is, in unknowingly we are having apavadam or negation of adhyasam. We remove adhyasam unknowingly. So that person who dreams is the same person who is awake and who sleeps. So the in order for this to happen, the sakshi of all those three should be one and the same person. Why should the sakshi be the same person? A person can dream and a person can wake up. In such a case, I, who am a man now, after dreaming and then getting up, I should get up as a woman. I don't get up as a woman, I am the same man. And it's the same person. So that is possible only because of the sakshi. That sakshi, which is the substratum of all these three, which is the witness of all these three. Also, Sri Shankara already said that Swapna is negated in Jagrat and Jagrat is negated in Swapna. Such mutual negation is possible only if there is a mutual witness to it. It's quite simple to say that I sleep as Hari Ram and I get up as George Bush. That is impossible. So that means I who am awake now, I go into sleep and when I get up, I am the same person. That is possible because of the ego is always changing. While dreaming, I have a different ego. While awake, I have a different ego. So that which relates all these three is the sakshi, which is ekaha, which is one alone. And when we analyze this avastha trayam, like Shankara has said in these three shlokas, then we'll come to know that all these trayam evam mithya, trayam evam bhavain mithya, all these three are mithya, and I am guna atitaha, I am beyond all guna. If I am beyond all guna, then I never get attached or affected. In sattva I become happy. In tamas also I tend to be happy. In rajas I become sad because I get tired. Such a case is not possible. There cannot be any sorrow for me because sorrow is also a quality of the mind. It is out of the gunam. Whereas I am guna atitaha. When I realize myself to be guna atitaha, nityaha, chidatmakaha, then I'll realize that I am anandarupam. When I realize that I am anandarupam, then Nandati Nandati Nandatyeva, then I'll ever be immersed in bliss. I'll ever be rejoicing in bliss. That is what Vedanta calls as the state of moksha, the state of turiya, where a person experiences bliss alone. And that is what Acharya's term as Jivan Mukti. That state wherein a person is liberated from all bondages, liberated from the bondages of the three avastas, liberated from the three gunas, liberated from ajnanam, liberated from kamam, liberated from karma, liberated from samsaram, liberated from shokam, liberated from moham, liberated from dukkam, thereby having only anandam. Such a state can be realized through avastatraya analysis. Analyzing that the avastha three are illusion and I am the sakshi of the three avasthas. I am avastha three sakshi. Shankara with the shloka ends the avastha three sakshi, the brief yet complete avastha three analysis, the analysis of the avastha three, thereby leading us to the sakshi of the avastha three. He continues the jagan mityatvam through analogies, through examples in the next few shlokas, which we will see tomorrow. Hari Om.